All right, let's look at Luke chapter 1. Now, Luke begins this by saying that he wants to give his narrative of the events surrounding the gospel, the life of Christ. And he says that in verse 1, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." So you see, the belief that faith is without foundation is completely incorrect. You can have a foundation, a faith without a foundation, but not the Christian faith. So as Luke points out there in the first four verses, these are things from eyewitnesses who have passed them down. He has full understanding from that. And so that verse 4, "you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed to Theophilus." So, verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.'" Now, if I was doing a study Bible, I would put a little mark there to look below. And below I would have "oops" written down. "And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.' And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Her question is similar in appearance to what Zacharias said. But, you know, you could say both of these things exactly the way they said. You could say one in unbelief and one in belief. How's that going to happen? I believe it's going to happen. How's it going to happen? Or in Zacharias' case, well, how can I know that's going to take place? I'm too old for that. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Now so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. And his mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." You know, in every age you've got people like this. They only let the parents name their kid without arguing. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us a look into the past, a reliable witness. Luke has delivered to us what was well understood and known in that region and during that time. And eyewitnesses spoke of it. As, Lord, you began to direct the attention of the entire region and even the entire world to the significant events of your moving to save us. And so, Lord, I pray for our look at this tonight, that you might instruct us in it and encourage our hearts in it. Make us those who truly and firmly believe in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Today there are people who are very, very upset because we don't get it. And I'm going to just give I'll speak from my opinion. There's nothing in the Bible about this. But I'm told that I hate to even admit this. If I use incandescent light bulbs, there I said it, that I'm destroying the planet. And the planet is mad at us. Mother Earth is angry. And unless we shape up, she's going to really, really get upset. And I go to get gas, and they got corn in it. Because, you know, I don't know why. It's a subsidy. I think it smells bad. I believe it makes your car get less gas mileage. And I also believe it does worse to the environment. But let's not talk about that. Other than that, I'm sure it's fine. But my point is that there are people who want everyone to know this. They make movies about it. They write books. They give speeches. They say we should not be polluting the environment like this. We should not be laying down a carbon footprint like this. And then they get in their private jet and go to the next place and say the same thing. So you see, they're alarmed. And it's creeping into society. And at some point, it's got to change, I hope. 1998 is the last time the earth warmed. We don't want to talk about that, though, because that goes against the current thinking. And, you know, it does warm every spring. And it cools off in the fall in the northern hemisphere and the opposite in the southern. So, you see, opposite to our months. So, you see, it's so important, so crucial. You got everything's green. I bet if you bought a chainsaw now, Mike, you'd get a green chainsaw that was more energy efficient, better for the environment. It's everything everywhere. So you see, that's because they believe that their cause is so just. Now, I don't believe any of it, but they believe their cause is so just that anything is justifiable. Even arresting people, not who are polluting, but who deny global warming theory. That's been said a number of times by a number of people. You see, they take it very, very ominously that the world is what they say it is. And so they warn. What the Lord does in the gospel is bring warning and instruction in the truth. It's not the stuff made up today that went from the freeze in the 70s to the warming in the latter few years. It's consistent throughout that men do not have a relationship with God. They do not know God. They do not love God. They do not obey God. And God decided to fix that. Now, we will, I think, in all of heaven, all of eternity, never quite grasp that fully. Although we'll know everything, it's just going to be always a mystery. The Lord did save us and did not save the angels who sinned. It's a great benefit for us. And because the Lord chose to do that, He chose to present it to the world in a miraculous way. And it begins with, in the Gospel of Luke, with Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, they're not usually spoken of much. Luke 2 is the Christmas account, although Luke 1 has the thing to Mary about, being with child of the Holy Spirit, that was coming. But it's Luke 2 that gets, it went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That's there in chapter 2. So you usually skip over the preparation to that. But it began back in with Zacharias and Elizabeth. And that Zacharias was a priest whose job it was in the temple when his time came, according to the division of time, that he would go and burn incense in the temple. That was his job. And of course, incense is in Scripture is a symbol of prayer. There's a the incense in Revelation that was rising up, it's prayer. It's could be other things, but it clearly is speaking in a number of places of the fact that God hears prayer, that prayer is offered. Prayer is offered with the incense. It rises up before God, and God takes notice of it. And so that was his job. And so he is there to do that. And we're told further that they cannot have children for two reasons. One is that Elizabeth, verse 7, was barren. And the second reason is that they were both well advanced in years. And that's a double whammy on Elizabeth. That, when she was younger, she couldn't have a child because she was barren. And now that they're both well advanced in years, the time has passed. We're also told that they were both righteous before God, verse 6. And that they walked in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And that is the testimony of the Holy Spirit through Luke, that they were blameless in their walk. And this is something that was a common experience at the temple when the person whose job it was to burn incense would go to the temple and burn that. The people would be outside, and so that he would go in and make that offering, and he would come out. And so that was his time. Verse 8, it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. So prayer, incense. And so he's in there, and verse 11 tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zacharias saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, I'm sure we would all have handled it much more manly than that. I really believe he is fearful for every man. Every person that would see something like this suddenly, a manifestation from heaven suddenly appeared. What did they always say? Do not be afraid. The angels always say, don't be afraid. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for under the shepherds. So he says here, he's afraid, and the angel says, the first thing, do not be afraid. Because when an angel shows up, suddenly, you're going to have a reaction to it. If he shows up in this way, you know, the Bible says sometimes men have entertained angels unawares. They're not recognized as angels. But when you recognize it as an angel, your first thing is to have a little bit of a fear. And he says, don't be afraid because, you know, I'm not here for a bad thing. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And what I love about the angel of the Lord is that he's got a great job, a ministry to do before the Lord. Because Gabriel can go and say what is going to take place, and it's going to take place because there's nothing that God says is going to take place that won't take place. Now, if any of us had gone to Elizabeth and said, listen, Elizabeth, you're 89 years old, but there's still time. You can still have a baby. It'd be foolish. Thanks for thinking I look younger, but, you know, it's not going to happen. But an angel shows up, and Gabriel goes into this delivery of a message to Zacharias. He doesn't stop until he's laid out the message. He gave him the name, John. Verse 14, you'll have joy and gladness. If you cannot have children, it's true even for those who can. When you have a child, it comes with joy and gladness, even though there's pain in the delivery. The joy of the child overcomes that. And so joy and gladness for a barren couple is just exponentially more from the fact that they've tried all those years, and the shame, especially to Elizabeth, if you can't have a child, In that society was just like, what's wrong with you? God must really be angry with you because you can't have a child. God's not blessed you with a child. That's what they lived with their entire marriage. Many will rejoice at his birth, verse 14. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. You don't know what your child is going to be like. Zacharias gets the future here. You Gamecock fans, I sure hope my child's not going to pull for Clemson. Clemson parents say, what if our child pulls for the Gamecocks? What are we going to do? Well, Zacharias, all the mystery was taken out about what kind of child he's going to be, because in verse 15, he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. That's another good thing to know. He's going to be committed to the Lord, serious about that. He's not going to be a drunkard. He's not going to be a bad child. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, we know he wasn't great in the sight of the people in full. He was great in the sight of the people. But, you know, he got locked up and beheaded in time. And he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And that is completely, you know, a special situation. And verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. So his impact is going to be to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. He is the forerunner. Here, Zacharias is being told that your son is the one prophesied in Isaiah 40. Your child is a fulfillment of prophecy, and he is the forerunner of the Messiah. And all those who were righteous as Zacharias and Elizabeth were, all of them wanted to see the Messiah. The Messiah was the answer to all the oppression, all the enemies, the sin problem, the things that brought the nation down, all the years it was laid low. The Messiah, the deliverer, the conqueror, the Savior, the anointed one of God. And so Zacharias is told, verse 17, he will also go before him, the Messiah, and the spirit and power of Elijah. And remember, Jesus identified John with a personification, a form of Elijah. Not that he was Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. How many times can you bring forth a child? And that child is the one that will fulfill prophecy. Malachi 4, verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's John. And so Zacharias is just dumbfounded by this. An angel of God, Gabriel, appears and said, here is what God is going to do, and here is what this child is going to be like. And Zacharias, if he could have just thought it through more. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. You know, you ever say something, want to suck the words right back in? It's too late, they're out. Now, that was an expression that was not pleasing to the angel. Because you know how, you know, when you made your parents angry, they would use your entire name to speak to you? Well, when Zacharias said this, the angel says, I am Gabriel. It goes the other way from the angels. He just tells him who he is. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings, or the good news. You see, Gabriel's position as an angel of the Lord is he lives with this all the time. He's right there in the presence of God. He knows what God does. He knows what the power of God. And when God speaks, it's true. All that is so real and seen all the time. God does exactly what he says he's going to do. And he comes down here to this mortal, and he's questioning. And so he says, I was sent to give you these, but behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, they treat him like he's also deaf, so it may have been more than that. So that was going on while the people were outside. Why is Zacharias taking so long? Seems like he's taking longer, doesn't it? So the people are wondering. Verse 21 says, they marveled that he lingered so long. I mean, it wasn't just a wondering, it wasn't curiosity, that was a wonderment. What's he taking so long? So he comes out and he can't speak. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. Now he carried out his ministry and then went home. And verse 24 tells us that Elizabeth conceived. Now this is how the Lord brings John the Baptist into the world, the forerunner. It's through a righteous elderly couple of the priestly line, who as priests, of course, present to the people, represent the people before God, make these sacrifices of various kinds, incense in this case. And so these two righteous elderly people of the priestly line are the ones through whom John is born. It is a miracle. And it's not the same miracle as Mary, because they conceived in the normal way. Mary did not. But she became pregnant and said, verse 25, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So that's the beginning of it. And as I said this morning, there is belief emphasized in that. Now I'm going to skip over Mary. I read it because I wanted you to see it in going through it. You see that there was the visit, the announcement to Mary that she was to have a child by the Holy Spirit. And her response was, verse 38, finally, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And when he departed, she could still talk. Now, there's nothing wrong with Mary. What the Catholics have done with Mary is not Mary's idea. Mary's a fine, righteous, young girl. She's not the problem. Her character is such that some have made her something of a god, but that's not her fault. She responds to this. She goes and visits Elizabeth, and John leaps in the womb when she shows up. And Elizabeth blesses with a loud voice, speaks with a loud voice of the privilege of having the mother of her Lord come. And Mary does what, you know, Hannah did in 1 Samuel, this great praise when the Lord gave her a child. She also was barren, like Elizabeth was. And so Mary stays for 3 months, goes home, and then we have the scene of the birth. Verse 57, her full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. I love the way that is said. You have neighbors who see this as the Lord showing mercy to you. You don't get that in a secular society. Israel was steeped in the knowledge of the true God. And those that knew Zacharias and Elizabeth, when they had this child, they rejoiced that the Lord had provided such a great blessing to them. I like the way that's worded. And so they rejoiced with her. And so they took him to be circumcised on the 8th day according to the law. And they were going to call him Zacharias, of course, because that's what you do. And He'll be called John. John? John? That's no name for Zacharias and Elizabeth. He's got to be Zacharias. We know best. We're your friends. You can't name your child without our agreement. John. Nope. He'll be called John. And then they reminded her of something that she had no idea about. She completely didn't know this. There's no one among your relatives who is called by this name. I'm sorry. His name is Zacharias. You're right. We'll call him Zach. So they made signs to his father. That's what makes you think he was deaf too. They made signs to his father what he would have him called. He writes down his name is John, and they marveled. They agreed. He couldn't hear. They agreed, and he's going to be called John, and they can't believe it. And that was Zacharias' statement of belief. Because when that happened, his mouth was open, his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God, and fear came on all who dwelt around them. You see what happens here? And this is what the Lord intends. Verse 65, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. The news traveled. What great thing was happening? There was anticipation. In 30 years or so, this has begun. We have now started the procedure, the process, the work of God to bring the Messiah. And it was spoken of. And they said, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Zechariah praised God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You see, all this is about God bringing that which no one can miss. No one can miss. The way the world views religion is if you miss that religion, you miss that religion, you still got your religion. As long as you have a religion, you haven't missed God. But in the Bible, if you miss Jesus, you could have all the other religions and it wouldn't work. And so he's pointing him to Jesus. God is pointing everybody to Jesus. And so when Zacharias prophesies, he talks about this is the one who will save us from our enemies. This is the one who will bring mercy to us and fulfill his holy covenant. This is the one who fulfills what you swore to Abraham. This is the one that will save us, that will free us to serve you, as he says in verse 74, without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is the one who's going to free us to be able to worship God. And this is what has happened. We are freed, ultimately, when we are in heaven, to be able to be pleasing to God and know God and worship God for all eternity. That's what we've been given. That is the great salvation. All these people talk about like they're going to get to heaven and do their own thing. And it's about us taking delight in serving God and loving God and being in the presence of God. That's why heaven's going to be so much greater than people can imagine. And he recognizes by faith now. Child, you will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Remember what John went and said, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Be baptized. And so he was baptizing people for the remission of sins. And so Zacharias comes to believe. Zacharias is something of an example of people who have them, they have their doubts, and then when they get it. To give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now that's before Christmas. That's before the manger. But that's the background to it. And so we see how founded in fact God emphasizes belief at Christmas. Let's all stand.